earthquakes, lightning, pouring rain, tornadoes, tsunamis, and a hurricane. Killer Earth.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, we're recording.
Yeah, finally.
Okay, so you guys, we already recorded this episode, but in the middle of recording, something happened and I didn't realize that only Kat's audio was being recorded. And the second half of the episode, I am MIA.
And I sound like a psychopath talking to myself.
And you sound like a crazy person talking to yourself and laughing at nothing. So I have no
that
idea.
That actually would be funny to release one day.
I know. I still have it. I was editing it because at first it was fine. And then I was like, shit. Because something weird happened right in the middle. Like it like glitched and kicked us off, but then it went right back to recording. So I didn't realize. It wasn't picking me up for whatever reason, which is so like weird.
It was weird.
So anyway,
so that's excuse one, but it's true.
Yeah.
And excuse million. It's excuse corner, but
yes. It's yeah.
Then I went to Dallas to move my mom from Texas to Maine. And then I had two back-to-back family reunions that lasted like an entire month. So those are my excuses. And I apologize.
My excuses are alcoholism, crippling depression and anxiety, summer, just like wanting to day drink outside. So that's why I haven't been.
Well, we also like met each other in Maine too. So that was really fun.
Yeah. So
I went to Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah. We vacationed together. Well, you always join me on my family vacations.
I basically crash it. Yes.
Because I can't handle it, my family without my like at least one friend being there with me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm going to have a panic attack.
Well, they like adopt me and then like I'm not sure how they feel about it, but
our
family's close.
But it was a little bit of a shit show this last trip because
yes, it was.
My mother and I were not getting along and she hated me the whole time for no reason.
And like I can't like day drink anymore like I used to.
I can't
like
either.
If I start early, then I'm like passed out. And your mom was like, "Do not miss the fireworks, Catherine." And I was like, "I won't, okay." And then she's like trying to wake me up, and I'm like, "No, it's okay.
You're like five more minutes, two more minutes." But it rained also like almost the entire time.
Oh my God,
so there wasn't really a lot to do. So we were like doing a lot of day drinking just like in the hotel room, and the rooms that the place we always stay are super nice and like comfy.
Yeah.
We did.
And the town is super cute.
Yeah. The town of Ogunquit.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we went, that actually was, I think, the best time of the trip.
That was so fun.
When we went into town and we just walked from the resort and we went shopping. You bought me. You forced me to let you buy me a sweater.
But we had to match. We usually get matching sweatshirts. So it was like, I was like, you have to get this.
You're like, you're getting it. And then we made an appointment.
And I got your mom one too. And she was like, thanks.
I know. She hated it. She hated us on the trip. She was so miserable on the trip. But that's like pretty standard for her.
That's her problem. Yeah.
And then you were like, we're getting psychic readings. So we like,
oh yeah,
we made an appointment, and then we ran into my aunt and uncle who were on the trip with us, and we like got my aunt to do a reading. Then we went and got margaritas while we were waiting for our psychic readings to start.
Yes.
So we had like drunk psychic readings.
It was amazing. I was like bawling. I was like, love you. But like my reading was so interesting.
Mine was too. I got a tarot reading. You got like a palm reading or something. You didn't get what I got. You
didn't read my palm. I was afraid for her to read my palm because in the past they said my life was short because I had like the short line. But I was like, I don't want to do that one. But I think it was just like a regular reading.
Yeah.
And she was just like staring into my soul. And she said a lot of stuff that I was like, oh my God. And it made me like cry because I was like, she knows like stuff.
She said a lot of things about me too that I was like, yes. And well, okay. So first of all, she was super intense, very beautiful, Romanian. She had this like, flowy white like gown on, like not gown, but like this flowy white, like beautiful dress on. She had like bright blonde hair, but it was like definitely bottle blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just a very intense person. And like, she was just like captivating. Right. Yeah. Like I was like kind of obsessed with her, but she me was too. Also, she said at the beginning of my reading, like, don't get mad at me if I say anything that like pisses you off. Cause I don't sugarcoat anything.
Yeah. No, like, I love that about her. The only thing that she said was wrong to me was she goes, you are with child. And I was like, what?
And maybe she meant like you're physically with a child. Cause we were with Lola the whole time, not at the psychic readings, but like we were.
Yeah, but then she was kind of like alluding that I was like pregnant. And I was like, oh, I don't think so. And then like the next day I started my period.
Right. So
I was like, thank you for making that, like, maybe she like helped me not be that way.
but maybe. I mean, like, you never know. Okay. Oh. So the crazy thing too, my aunt, who was very skeptical, her reading, the psychic was talking about her daughter, but my aunt doesn't have a biological daughter. She has two sons, but she has a niece who she basically like helped raise, like a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's who she's talking about. And she was like, cause I told her at the end, I don't have a daughter. And I'm like, she's talking about your niece.
Yeah, totally.
It's like I feel like they pick up on like how things, like, if you raise a child, it's in like the psychic world, it's like your child, even if you didn't give birth. You know what I mean? Like,
totally. Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. And then, yeah, with me, she was like, you are dead inside. She's like, you have the lowest like energy of anyone I've ever done a reading for. Like, you're so depressed. I like think you might be dead, but you're not. I'm like, okay. She's like, your heart chakra is completely closed. I'm not even going to do her accent because I feel like it would be like kind of offensive, but she was like, your heart chakra is completely closed. Your mom like closed it when you were a child. I was like, no shit. She was like, no, okay, I'm going to attempt her, because this is my favorite part of my reading, because we recorded our reading, so I listened back.
Oh, yeah, I forgot I recorded mine. I should listen back again.
She's like, your heart chakra, it is closed. No one want to be in love with you. No one want that. I'm like, I know.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
She's like, no one want to be in with you. I'm like, I get it. I know. Sorry.
What did she say to do for that?
She's like, well, first of all, she gives me this like guide, but I can't read it because I didn't bring my reading glasses in. I should have taken a picture of it. But then I like consulted our friend Mandy later.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how do you open your heart chakra? And she sent me a bunch of like content and stuff.
Oh, cool.
You have to do a lot of like putting your hands on your heart and like doing chants.
Oh, okay.
And like, there's more to it than that, but
yeah.
She was like, you're not balanced at all. Like, your life is completely out of balance. And like, you're basically incapable of healthy relationships. I was like, okay. It's like, I already knew, I feel like I know that about myself. Now, healthy relationships romantically, not like friendship wise.
But I've always said it's because like you are like in this period where you're raising your young daughter and it's like you're giving all of your energy to her. So I think it's a really healthy thing, like where you're at. And I think eventually that will change. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope so. I'm trying to open my heart chakra.
Yeah.
It's
open
like,
your heart to me.
Right. I should listen to that.
You should. That's how you should open it.
doing my chanting chants. Or no, it's not. It's like, what's it called? Mantra.
Yeah.
Mantra. So yeah, that was super fun.
It was really fun. I also, before I forget, I really do need to do a shout out to one of my close friends, Chris. Mm. I shouted out another friend slash fan of the podcast last time, and I completely forgot to mention Chris, and he's like a diehard fan. So we love you, Chris. Thank you for listening. And I'm sorry I left you out last time, and I have a t-shirt for you.
Chris is cool. Isn't he like a scientist or something?
Yeah, he's like a nuclear physicist, and he's actually like in Australia right now. He got to Australia, and I'm really jealous of him right now.
He's super brilliant. So the fact that he likes this podcast, that's a big deal. Yes. He's actually smart.
Yeah.
Like a nuclear physicist enjoys us talking about like things that we have no idea what we're talking about.
Right. It's like validation to like the nth degree. So
yeah. Well, yeah. So yeah, Chris, you're the best. I think I've met Chris a couple times.
Yeah, he's great.
Cool.
Well, anyways, anything else before we like get into it?
Okay. There's this one more thing.
Yeah, sure.
So I am obsessed with this show that I found. I've never heard a thing about it, but I put it on every night when I get in bed.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot about this. I need to do this.
Yeah. And there's only three seasons of it. It's called These Woods Are Haunted.
Okay.
And it's a docuseries with reenactments about people who have, it's, you know what? It's a lot of Bigfoot stuff, but it's also like demons and ghosts in a rural setting. I'm so obsessed with it. I fall asleep to it every night. So then I miss like several episodes. So then I have to rewatch them. But there's so many stories of like hunters, like over the years. And a lot of it is like the kind that like, on the East Coast, and like a lot of it's like Ohio, West Virginia, like Missouri, Tennessee, where there's like an extensive cave system and like kind of like along the Appalachian Mountains, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, and then they interview the real people, and I don't understand how there couldn't be a Bigfoot after watching this show. I don't understand.
I need to watch it because I am like so thinking. I don't think it's I'll have to watch it and see what I think afterwards, because I struggle with if there is or not. But like, I'm not denying that there isn't, because like people have seen things, you know, like there's been
these people that recount their story. They're so emphatic that they saw a Bigfoot and not like not a bear, because I've heard that some people have seen like a bear suffering from like mange, and they think it's like a weird creature.
Oh,
especially if it's like walking upright for a little bit.
Yep.
These people are not like that. And there's tons of episodes of these people being like, I know what I saw. I'm telling you, there are things out in those woods that you don't, there are things out there. Like, they're so serious about it. And it's all different ages of people. It's like some are teenagers, some are in their 90s. Like,
Yeah, it's, I need to, I'll put it on. What station or what? Where can you stream it?
I found it on Max, like the HBO streaming platform. Yeah.
Right,
it might be like Discovery or something, but you can get it through Max. But the first episode is like a girl who goes to an abandoned like mental institution or something in the woods. Mm-hmm. So that's why a hellhound followed her back to her house.
Ooh.
And like murders her dog. Sorry to give it away. But most of it is like Bigfoot stuff. And like,
okay, I'll give it a shot.
It's like, just, I don't know. I'm just obsessed, and it's making me excited for fall and like Halloween season. And
spring. Well, every show you've recommended to me, I've like become obsessed with. So,
good.
I mean, like, I trust your opinion. The only one I cannot get into still is Real Housewives, but
I mean,
I just haven't watched the Atlanta one, though. I think that's the one you said I have to watch.
Like certain seasons, I watch The Real Housewives of OC currently because that's kind of my favorite franchise. I've fallen out of a lot of Bravo shows, though, because it's just getting a little ridiculous.
Too much.
I mean,
go ahead. No, you go.
No, just like it's like there's a line where we're just like encouraging like bad behavior. Like so many of these housewives have been committing like financial crimes.
I know. It's crazy. I've seen that.
And it's like, I don't necessarily want to be a part of that anymore. Like there was this one chick who was ripping off old people and doing like phone scams. She's in jail right now. From Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I mean,
I never got
shit.
Like good vibes from most of those people. So
yeah.
But I think that's the allure is because it's like a shit show. Really quick, while you were mentioning bears, did you like see that like bear in China that everyone's convinced it's a human dressed up in a bear suit?
Yeah, they think it because the guy isn't there a Japanese guy who is in a border collie suit in New York and it looks really real? There's a guy that his dream was to become a border collie. So he's walking around the streets of New York dressed as a border collie and it looks so real.
That's so weird.
The creepiest thing.
I have to look that up. Oh my God.
And I think dogs have no idea that it's not a dog, that it's a small Japanese man.
That's crazy.
So then led me to this where people are like, oh, are there other human beings in fucking animal suits? Because this bear is like real good at entertaining people and seems to like to stand up a lot.
And when it stands up, it literally looks like human pants. It's like hilarious. But like, I don't know what the conclusion was. Like if they're saying it was real and I'm like,
I have to look into that.
Yeah, I'll look into it more. We'll get back to you guys if we find out.
That's I feel like that's something that like a Chinese zoo would do.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like there's many rules over there.
There's rules, but they're like.
Well, not like I just feel like it's something that they would be like, this will make us money.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Let's put the guy in the bear suit.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. I'll have to look up the border collie. That's amazing.
It's really gross and weird. And like, at first I thought they like grafted hair onto him, but it's a suit that he's wearing. It's not like, I thought he had like surgeries and I was like, this is fucking
real. Probably sprays like that, like hound, like scent you can spray.
Like dog pee?
I don't know. I think there's like something you can spray that smells like dog. I don't know what I'm talking about, actually. So
I don't know if my dad still does this, but hunters around here sometimes would put like fox pee on them.
Oh.
When they're hunting, so the deer don't smell them.
Oh, okay.
And it's really fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it's weird.
And I think it's unnecessary.
Where can you buy fox pee?
You just buy it from like a hunter. Supply store.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think it's like at that point, you're too into hunting if you need to put urine on you from another animal.
Yeah, for sure.
Just like go hunt.
Go show. All right. Well, should we get into it?
Yeah. Let's talk about your topic. And when we first recorded this, it had happened closer to the time we recorded.
Yeah.
Now it's some time has passed. So yeah. I feel
Do you even
horrible.
Remember any of the stories? Like, hopefully you get still surprised.
No, I really don't. I don't okay, remember. Good. I remember, but also we talked so much about your trip where you drew inspiration for this topic. So like, I'm not sure what we talked about and what you talked about on the recording.
On the podcast.
So let's do it.
Cool. So I recently went to Indonesia for a few weeks in April, and it was amazing. And my topic is Komodo dragons, deaths, and attacks. Because they're just badass creatures, and they're really cool and really weird. Okay, so my sources are the SmithsonianMag.com, National Geographic, PBS.org, KomodoDragon.org, CNN.com, AnimalsFYI.com, WorldWildlife.org, and SCMP.com.
Is KomodoDragon.com like not legit? Because you laughed when you said it.
It's just funny because it's just like, that's my topic and it's so specific.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah. So, like, basically, like, when we went to Indonesia, we got on this boat for 3 days, 2 nights. And we, like,
island hopped. Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we island hopped around the Komodo Islands. And it was probably the best thing I've ever done. Like, hands down, I recommend it to everybody. It was amazing. It was actually really cheap too, compared to like anywhere else you would go. And we did like a lot of island hopping, and we went to some of these islands that I'm going to talk about, which was really cool. Those are the only place in the world besides like a zoo where the Komodo dragons like roam free.
I did not know that, by the way.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of shocked that this is the only place in the world where they're wild.
Yeah, like it's the only place. Yeah, it's crazy. I know that they have some zoos, I think, with them. But
Yeah. But like in terms of like a wild habitat.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so Komodo dragons roam free on a few Indonesian islands, including the Komodo National Park Islands, which there's the Big Island Komodo, Rinca, Gili Montang, Gili Desami, Komodo Island. Komodo Island is where the national park is. And it's 22 miles long. So it's fairly big. But it's like, you know, still small enough. Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of like spread out. They're not on every island, but they're on like a few. So it's like really, yeah. We also went to this other island called Pantimera Island, and they were like, don't go beyond that rock or into the grasslands because there are Komodo dragons around the point. But like, I didn't like find that in my research, but I was physically there and saw signs that were like, beware. Mm. So I think they're like on a few other islands that I didn't mention. Kedar Island is where we went as well. We didn't see them there. But that's another place that they had signs everywhere that was like, don't go off the trails, and had a picture of a Komodo dragon. And of course, like this lady we were with, she was such an idiot. She was just like walking off the trail, and she got yelled at by so many people. It was like, okay.
Was she on the boat that you went on?
No, she like, there were several other boats in the area that were doing the same things as we were. Like our boat only had like 12 people on it. Not including the crew. They had like a crew of like 6 people. Mm-hmm. So it was like a really intimate like 3 days because you were like really with these people, which right. was really fun.
But the lady, you said this other chick kept just for no reason, just walking off the trail.
Yeah, like we were like on Padar Island and we were like watching the sunrise come up, and there was literally a sign that was like, don't go here.
Mm-hmm.
And she just like started walking. Like, it's just like, people are so stupid. Like, that's what I always learn from my travels the most, is that how stupid people are.
What was her nationality?
I think she was American, honestly.
That tracks. Because, okay.
But I couldn't tell. I didn't talk to her. Like, I think she spoke English. I think she was very aware of like.
I mean, honestly, that's something I know so many people that would behave like that.
Yeah.
Like my mother would do that. She'd be like, what?
Oh my God.
Like she would not give a fuck.
Oh God. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like really I feel like I know a lot of people that travel like that. They just, they put their blinders up and they don't pay attention.
Right. It's like, just drives me crazy. There's also like cobras, like the king cobras on these islands.
Oh my God.
So like everything is so like, it's so funny over there because it's like, so dangerous. Like,
yeah, and you're far away. You're kind of
there's no hospital like nearby. Like I always thought of that because every single thing we did on this tour was like super dangerous, but it was like there was no waiver. Not that I needed one. It's kind of like you just go with the flow or you don't go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so down for that. But like there was like everything we did, it was like we swam with the mantas and we got like dropped in. And right before they were like, the current's really bad. So just like let the current take you and we'll try and find you. And I was like,
We'll try and find you. We'll try.
And we were like in the middle of the ocean and they drop us off at this point where all the mantas swim. And as soon as we went under, it was like so magical. And then they did, they would find all of us. Like we kind of were like in a washing machine. It was like really wild, like currents, but you could still like, you could still see everything and it was really cool. But like that happened. And then for like the Komodo Island, which we went to, they were like, make sure you wear your sneakers, because you might have to run for your life. And I was like, okay, why? Oh, and they're like, oh, well, if a Komodo's hungry, like it can run after you and bite you.
And they're and fast.
There's no hospital around. So
yeah. And I'm sure you'll explain, but they're fast.
Yeah. We'll get into that for sure. Mm-hmm. But it was just like really interesting. It was really fun, but I was like always, and then I got stung by jellyfish. When I was swimming with the mantas, I got it pretty bad, but like, it wasn't, but I kept thinking, oh my God, I'm in the part of the world where the box jellyfish is. And I had no coverage, nothing. I was just, well, I had a swimsuit, but like, I was like, as soon as I got stung, I was like panicked. I was like, oh my God. But then it was fine.
Also, like you showed me photos you guys took with the Komodo dragons.
Oh yeah.
you are among them. Yeah. Like you're with them. I'm like, what the fuck? I was not expecting that. I thought they were going to be in the background where you'd be at a safe distance. No, you're like hanging out with them.
So there's this one that like, well, there was a couple that were just like hanging out on the beach, but they like, they had already eaten apparently. And so the guide there was like, who lives there like every night and he does these tours every day. He was like, oh yeah, this one's the friendly one. Let's get closer. And I was some of the crew from our ship like did not take a picture, but I was like, hell yeah. But like, yeah, it was like, I guess it was like really tired and it had already eaten. So like they weren't concerned, but we got really close. It was very weird.
So maybe they sunbathe when they're tired.
And yeah. They're full. Well, they were actually in the shade. It's so hot there. It's like,
yeah,
so hot. But yeah, so that was really cool. Okay. So they can also be found on the island of Flores, which is another island in Indonesia. It's kind of like further away from the Komodo Islands though. They can get up to 10 feet long and weigh more than 300 pounds. And they're that's the heaviest wild. Lizard on Earth.
That's crazy.
Okay. This is the part that like really freaked me out. And I saw this happen because there were, like I said, there were several on the beach walking around. Two of them actually got into a fight over territory. And I like, I ran over to try to get like a recording of it. But like I kind of missed it. But you can see the other one like just storming off and the other guy like chasing him out. It was really interesting. But they have these really muscular tails and they have two pronged tongues.
Yes.
That's gross.
That's the creepy thing about them.
Yeah. They're like tongues are super long and then they have two long prongs and they're just like, they'll like slither like a snake, but they're giant.
Ugh.
It's
many horrible things combined into one thing.
I know. They can open their jaws about 180 degrees and their teeth are flat blades like great white sharks. And I'm literally wearing one right now and I still refuse to take it off.
I love your Komodo dragon tooth necklace. It's really cool. It's huge.
Huge. And I like it stabs me in the neck every night when I sleep. But I'm just like, oh, I love it so much. I'm just like, I can't part with it.
You could take it off when you sleep.
I don't want to. It's like a part of me now.
OK. Well, it is stabbing you. So. But whatever. You
can
go on with your fucking self. You do you.
Yep. Yep. Okay, so they're very fast, and they can explode out of the underbrush to ambush prey very quickly and get up to 12 miles per hour. So in retrospect, I think I might at my fastest be able to outrun them, but I don't. How much is a human? Like, how fast are humans?
I think in the 20s are the fastest.
Oh, so we could outrun them.
Wait, let me Google this right now.
But I'm not a runner. Like, I work out and stuff, but I'm not a runner.
No. We can run about 8 miles per hour.
Okay.
Oh, 6.5 for females, 8 for males.
Oh, okay. So that's why they told us to put our sneakers on.
Yeah.
But that sounds like that wouldn't that's help if they were super hungry.
I guess that's the average speed.
Awesome. Well, thank you for looking that up. You were like 20. I was like, damn. But maybe like an Olympic person like could do that.
Yeah, like Usain Bolt, it says, got up to nearly 28 miles per hour.
28?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's insane. That's cool.
But that's Usain. Mm-hmm. Usain. Insane, and it's Usain.
That's great. These islands that they live on are all volcanic, so they're super rugged and hilly, and they're covered with like forest and savanna grassland. It was like a really weird climate. It's like something I've never been to because it looks kind of like, it's hard to explain. It's just like volcanic rugged rocks with like a forest on it, but then it also had like grasslands.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really super like, it wasn't like, it was very tropical because there was like palm trees, but then there were like regular trees. So it was like really interesting. The climate on these islands is very hot. Daytime temperatures during the dry season reach about 95 degrees. I mean, we've all felt that at least here, and it's hot. And it's 70% humidity. So it's just like, damn. In comparison to to other large predators, Komodo dragons have the smallest home range. So kind of what we talked about in the beginning. Okay. And then I found like this to be interesting about Komodo dragons. They have evolved to produce both sexually and parthenogenically. And that means like basically it's parthenogenesis happens when another egg rather than sperm fertilizes an egg. The biological process of making an egg cell called oogenesis typically produces a polar body, which contains a duplicate copy of egg DNA. So basically, like, they can have baby. They're like the Virgin Mary, if you do that thing, if you believe that.
Okay, so they can just get themselves pregnant?
Yes.
What the? I don't. Okay.
Yeah, it's.
I don't get it, but I believe it.
There's like other types of animals that do this, but I didn't write down what
The whole like plot of Jurassic Park is that they use tree frog DNA to fill in the sequencing gaps when they were creating the dinosaurs, but they didn't fucking realize or like take into account that the tree frogs they were using could reproduce on their own. They didn't
there need you a go mate. Yep, so that's parthenogenesis.
Yeah, so that's why the dinosaurs were like breeding like crazy.
Ugh,
life found a way.
I wish it would.
It did.
I know, but I need it to happen in real life because I would really like to see that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting because Komodo dragons are dinosaurs, right? Like technically, like
oh yeah. I mean, when you look at those things, it's like it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird that they're a lizard and then you have the crocodile and alligator, which is, they're kind of similar if you really think about it, but they're like totally two different things. So it's really weird.
Well, they're both reptiles.
They're both reptiles and they both have like 4 feet and tails. And the difference is like the shape of their head, but they have sharp like razor teeth. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Earth is weird.
Yeah, it is. Males keep track of females and their readiness to mate by smelling their pheromones with their giant forked tongues. And they like, so their tongues like are the reason they can smell, and it like they can smell air and then they can lick and they'll know. Obviously licking, but like they can smell air with their tongues.
Imagine how bad their tongues and breath probably smells.
Oh God, it's so gross.
Like nothing you've probably ever smelled.
Oh yeah. Females leave traces of their pheromones in their feces and urine. So that's how like they smell.
Like, got it.
Yeah. When a female is ready to mate, dominant males will battle one another in a dramatic and often bloody wrestling match that can last for hours. When not deep in battle, males put on displays of dominance and aggression by hissing, expanding their throats, and thrashing their tails. I'm really glad that the human race doesn't mate like that.
I mean, sometimes they do.
Yes, sometimes. When males battle for females, they usually stand upright using their tails for support. And then they try to throw their opponents to the ground while grabbing each other with their forelegs and teeth. Once to the ground, the loser either runs away or remains flattened in the dirt in a submissive pose. Sometimes this gets really bloody from their teeth and claws. However, wounded males appear to be unaffected by bacteria and venom of other dragons. And I'll get to like their bites soon.
Well, yeah. I mean, how could they have venom inside and also die from the venom if they're bit?
Right.
I mean, get how that would work. Like, could a venomous snake kill another snake by biting it?
That's a really good question. I don't know. That's a really good question.
There's probably so many people, whoever listens to this, being like, how dumb can these people be on this podcast?
Whatever. Weird fact, you really can't tell them apart except for the arrangement of scales in front of the female's cloaca, which is a common cavity at the end of the digestive tract for the release of both excretory and genital area. So like the scales are the alignment of scales are the only way you can tell if they're male or female.
A cloaca sounds like something like Cardi B would like call her vagina.
Oh, I know. What is it? It's a C-L-O-A-C-A. I think I said that right.
What? How do you spell it?
C-L-O-A-C-A.
Cloaca. Yeah, I don't know.
Cloaca. The female dragons do not breed every year, that they are fertile. They have to like take time off to recover from egg production because it's like a whole like thing. And it like takes forever. Mm-hmm. The nests are huge and females can dig their nest to lay eggs up to 2.5 meters deep, which is like 8 feet deep. So it's like they like really put it in the ground. Egg laying normally occurs in August and afterwards they will defend their nest until December, which is the wet season there. And then they'll usually leave. Why females leave their nest is not clear, but we think it's because they need to start eating more regularly or because the risk to predators finding their eggs have decreased. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, after this, the eggs are on their own for the next few months until they become fully developed.
That's kind of sad.
I know. It's kind of like they really guard their eggs and then they're like, all right, I'm hungry. I gotta go.
Yeah, like, good luck.
Mm-hmm. They also like don't travel in packs. Like they're very solo with everything they do in life. Mm. During the nesting period, females and their body weight drops significantly up to 44 pounds over the course of this process. It's funny, like we gain weight and they like lose weight. Okay, right. After their eggs. Females use three different nest types for their eggs, including hillside nests, ground nests, and mound nests built by the orange-footed scrub fowl, which our Indonesian guide said it was called a kiwi bird. So like this bird makes a nest and then the Komodo dragons basically take over and then they like start digging and make it huge. We actually saw a nest and it was really cool. Like I wanted to go look in, but obviously they wouldn't let me do that.
Oh, what, like what did it look like from your vantage point?
It's like a giant mound. I'll put a picture of it on the social post.
Yeah.
But it's a giant mound. So you couldn't really see like into it. But like they dig so much that it, like, you know, to put it in the earth, that like the mound piles up basically.
Mm-hmm.
They will often dig decoy nest chambers as a way of discouraging predators. So they'll like build several decoy nests.
Mm-hmm. Decoy?
Yeah, decoy.
Sorry. I'm like, what's a decoy nest?
Yeah, so they'll build like several different nests to like, because you got to remember that the Komodo dragon, like, they eat each other.
Oh,
or maybe I didn't even mention that yet.
But I didn't know that.
Yeah, they eat each other, and they eat like other their people's eggs.
They eat other dragons' eggs.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder if they ever eat their own babies if they were near them.
Well, yes. And I think that's another reason why they leave.
Oh, okay. Because
otherwise, like, I don't.
That would be like an evolutionary thing where leaving prevents, like, leaving facilitates enough new dragons being born because the moms would just eat them.
If yeah.
They stuck around.
That's so interesting. Yeah, it's really like, I just find these creatures like so fascinating. So March and April is when the baby Komodos hatch. I went in April, so that was another thing. They were like, by the way, like, babies are hatching. They are in the trees. They might jump on you. Have fun. And I was like, what?
But the babies can't harm you?
No. I don't know. They were like, I don't think so. I think they're like so little that, well, I don't actually know. That's a
but
really
like, good point. Yeah, but I wonder.
We were all looking in the trees too, because the guide was like, keep your head up. I don't know though. They were just kind of like very vague and very dangerous situation.
Sounds it. They're like, we'll try to find you.
Yeah.
In the ocean, in the open ocean.
So they hatch like March, April, and it's ideal for them to hatch at this time because it coincides with the environment. When the environment is the richest, because it's the rainy season, plants are developing new foliage, and this also brings out a lot of insects and like other foods for babies, the baby Komodo dragons to eat. So the baby dragons are extremely brightly colored when they're born. They're yellow and orange striped and dots. They have dots, and it helps them camouflage and hide from predators.
Cute.
It's really cute. Their colors seem really cool. Cause now, like, when they get older, they just like turn like a green brown.
Yeah, like a mucky.
Yeah. Yeah. A female lays between 15 to 30 eggs at a time, which is about the size of a grapefruit.
Eggs are the size of a grapefruit?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So when they hatch, the newborns are about 12 inches long and incredibly vulnerable because, again, they can get eaten. So it's like immediately they hatch and then they run up a tree. The closest tree they can find, so the adults won't eat it. And adult Komodo dragons can't climb trees. So that's like a tip, actually. If you're getting like chased, like get up a tree.
Unlike with like a bear.
Yeah.
Get up that tree.
Can a bear climb a tree?
Hell yeah.
Oh, so you're screwed.
My scariest bear encounter was here. I think I talked about it maybe on this podcast. There was a bear in a tree above me and I didn't even know. And I was trying to get my dog because he was barking and I didn't realize that. And I looked up, it was like a horror movie. And there's a bear like popping its teeth at me.
Ew, that's so scary.
They're really amazing
climbers. I forgot about that.
But that's like so interesting too, that the babies instinctually know to like get up a tree.
I know. It's like they just know.
It's like with sea turtles. Like they know to go to the water. And once they're in the water, they're safe.
Oh, I love sea turtles. Yeah, no, exactly. It's like they just literally run up a tree immediately. And their mom's not there to tell them, like, you know, so anyway. While living in trees, the babies feed on eggs, grasshoppers, beetles, and geckos. And they are large enough to come to the ground when they're about 4 years old and 4 feet long. So they stay in the tree for like 4 years.
That's wild.
They reach sexual maturity at ages 5 to 7 years old. So just some cool facts. What do they eat? They eat almost any type of meat that is available. The most common prey is timber deer. And I was actually shocked at the amount of deer there were on these islands. Like, we saw some just, like, chilling on the beach. They were, like, used to people. I saw some, like, way off in the fields. Like, there's a ton of deer, which is, for the landscape itself, it was just, like, really interesting. Their diet also includes small rodents to large water buffalo, which they also have. They stalk their prey and then attack using their long claws and sharp teeth. Their saliva also contains venom, which we'll get to. And it basically, once they bite, it weakens the prey, and basically they wait for the thing to die so that they can eat them.
I think that that's the thing that most people, like, maybe know about Komodo dragons, is, like, the process of how they hunt. But maybe there's some myths in there that aren't quite accurate, because I feel like we talked about this, but...
Yeah, and I'll get to that for sure. There's a little misconception that's been happening for years about, like, exactly how it works. But if the prey escapes, they can use their long tongues to find them even up to a mile away. Like, that's how strong their tongues can smell.
Oh, that's so creepy.
So weird. They have a strong sense of smell and can pick up odors using their tongue. Because the Komodo dragon has poor vision and hearing, it uses the sense of smell as its main food detector. It has a forked tongue that samples the air, processing the scent through specialized organs on the roof of its mouth, the way a snake does.
So they have poor vision and hearing.
Yeah, but so they, like, do everything by smell, basically.
Oh, wow.
The younger adults feed primarily on small lizards and insects, after they get out of the tree, as well as snakes and birds. And then a Komodo dragon can swallow a whole prey the size of a goat, and it takes 15 to 20 minutes to do so. Sometimes a dragon will ram the carcass against a tree to help push it down its throat, and the force it takes to do that is so powerful that the tree sometimes falls down.
Oh my God.
Because of an immensely slow metabolism, the monitor lizard can basically eat as few as 12 meals a year.
Wait, so, like, that's, they're also called monitor lizards?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's another term for him. Sorry.
Why? I wonder why. Why do they have two names?
I don't know. I didn't look that up.
Also, Komodo dragon's a way cooler name than monitor lizard.
Oh yeah.
Monitor lizard, like, monitor is, like, one of the most boring words ever.
I know. It's like, yeah. Okay. But they could eat once a month and be totally fine because their metabolism is so slow. And that's typically what they do.
That's like a reptile thing, I feel like, too.
Yeah,
totally. Reptiles, like, eat. Not. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Never mind.
Sorry, this is, like, so much information about the dragon itself before I get into, like, the deaths and the attacks. But, like, I thought it was so interesting. And I feel like a lot of people just don't know about them. So.
It is, and you've been right next to them. So it must be wild. Just, it's, yeah. You've actually, like, everything we talk about, we don't really know.
I know.
Firsthand. This is why I'm so excited that you chose this topic, because you actually, like, experience.
Oh my God, I know. And, like, the guide was super informative, and, like, so was the guy on the boat, Addy. Shout out to Addy if you ever listen. I would just talk to him for hours about stuff. Oh yeah, that was another dangerous thing he said real quick. He was like, so Addy, like, ran the whole show on the boat, but another, like, dangerous adventure, he'd be like, all right guys, we're parked here, you guys could swim, you know, we're gonna be here, like, all night, feel free to swim or whatever, just be careful, there's, like, really dangerous stingrays that will straight up, like, just come and attack you for no reason and you'll die. But just watch out for them. It's fine. And I was like, what? Like, it was insane.
What about sharks?
Yeah, I saw sharks that night. But they were only reef sharks. I was never, like, really scared.
Yeah, but a reef shark could fuck you up.
Yeah, but all of them were like, they don't do anything. And sometimes when we were snorkeling, they were like, oh, you might see one. And I was like, oh, that would be awesome. But, like, yeah, they're, like, kind of smaller. They, like... I was never really scared of sharks, and, like, maybe I should have been, but, like, they just, like, made me feel so comfortable in the most dangerous situations that I was like, okay.
I know, that's, like, and weren't there children on the boat?
Yes. Oh my God.
See, I don't think I could do that with Lola. I don't know. I'd be too nervous.
The guides were so amazing with them.
Yeah.
And these kids, I could not believe it. Like, they spoke Mandarin, German, English, and French.
That's amazing.
And they were like 5 years old. Like, there was like a 7 year old who took a liking to me toward the end. She like wouldn't talk to me at first. And then she like really wanted to hang out. And then there was a 5 year old and there was a 3 year old talking all these languages. And I was like, what is happening? I was so jealous.
I'm jealous of that. My fucking parents did not make sure I learned a language at that age. Like, what the fuck?
And it was kind of hard. Like, that was one thing about the trip that we like didn't really love was like we would have these sit down dinners every night. And it wasn't just the kids. Like, all of these people knew several different languages. And like, we had a lot of like people from France and we had a lot of people from Germany and just like they. So it was like and there was like Dutch and Switzerland. And they were all just like talking during dinner, and Sam and I were like,
they were speaking probably a lot of French.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I get it that they wanted to like be comfortable in the language, but I later found out from one of them that they like it was toward the end. We ended up going to the airport with them, and we were kind of like, it was bittersweet because like we never really got to know anyone like very well on the boat. Like, we all like lived together and we had the best time, but like. I wish I had like made lifelong friends. Mm-hmm. And I have like a couple people I'm Facebook friends with that I'll like never forget. That was awesome. But like, it was just, I don't know. It was hard. And they basically later said like, we're embarrassed because we don't speak good English. And I was like, I don't care. You're I don't just either. Speak it to me because I don't get anything.
I don't speak good English either. You should hear how much I mispronounce shit on my podcast.
Yeah. So that was kind of, it was eye-opening because I was like, oh, they're like, you know, just like they didn't want to sound dumb. But and I think that's why they were like speaking a lot of their like own languages. But like, God, I was so upset. I was like so jealous that I didn't. Now I like, and then I'm home and I need to like do that. I need to like, I'm trying to learn Spanish because I have a ground for Spanish. I just need to like get myself in gear and like practice every day.
You have a what?
Like grounds for it. Like I have like some basics. Like I can understand some things, but like, I don't know. I got to get back on it. You can speak fluent, right?
I am fluent in Spanish. It's like the only thing in life that I've ever achieved.
Oh my God. I want to achieve that too. Okay. Social structure. I kind of mentioned this. They're a solitary creature and they live alone and hunt alone. Some dragons build or find shallow burrows to keep warm at night, to rest and to escape the heat during the day. A mature dragon leads a leisurely life. The dragon begins its day by coming out from its burrow to look for a sunny spot to warm up. Once heated up, the dragon searches for its first meal. And then it's followed by a nice long nap during the hottest part of the day. So we got there at noon and that dragon was like totally chill. Mm. And like, he was just like resting. And then the dragon searches for its afternoon meal if it, you know, feels like it. And then it's like bedtime. So they're like just pretty chill other than like they just hunt and that's about it. Komodo dragons don't always hunt for their meals though. Instead, they eat a lot of carrion, which is the dead and rotting flesh of an animal.
It's called carrion?
C-A-R-R-I-O-N.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Me either. But that's what it means.
So they're also scavengers.
They're scavengers, yeah. And they probably would prefer that because I feel like it's a lot of work to like chase something down. Their noses can detect a carcass as far as 6 miles away. So you know how I said that when they first bite the prey and it runs away, they can detect it up to like a mile. Mm-hmm. Well, if the thing's dead, like they can smell it even more. They can like smell it like really far away. But this is also a problem for the locals that live on these islands because they sometimes go and eat like recently buried people.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
They go like they find plots and they dig them up.
Mm-hmm, and eat them. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's been like an actual problem there. And you wouldn't, I mean, there was quite a bit of, it wasn't, it was like the smallest village, but there were so many people for this really small village. It was like amazing to see but it was hard to see because like these kids, like, you know, maybe Lola's age and a little bit older were like just begging for you to buy something. It was just like hard.
Yeah.
You know,
that's always very jarring.
Yeah. Okay. So getting to the bite and basically the myth has been, it's the bacteria that basically breaks down the prey and like causes them not to move, but it's actually venom. Instead of like bacteria, it can be like, there is bacteria. Yes. It's very like, you don't want to get bit by one, but it's the venom that actually kills you.
So I feel like that's the myth. People, like, I've seen memes that are like, the bacteria in Komodo dragon saliva is what kills you. And like,
right.
But that's not true.
It's like, it's a snake venom. Yeah, it's the snake venom. An animal that escapes a Komodo's initial attack soon weakens and dies. And then, as we know, it will track down the wounded creature and eat it at its leisure once the prey collapses. Researchers have long thought that the Komodo dragon kills via blood poisoning caused by the multiple strains of bacteria in the dragon's saliva. However, Brian Fry, a venom researcher at the University of Melbourne, Australia, said that the whole bacteria stuff has been a scientific fairy tale. And then Fry and his colleagues studied the biochemistry of Komodo venom after they had the rare opportunity to examine two dragons from zoos that had to be both put down due to illness. So they had like a fresh one to like look at. And
yeah.
The team found the dragon's venom rapidly decreased blood pressure, expedites blood loss, and sends a victim into shock, rendering it too weak to fight.
So it's like getting bit by a snake, essentially.
Yes. Yes. In the venom, some compounds that reduce blood pressure are as potent as those found in the world's most venomous snake, Western Australia's inland taipan.
Oh, wow. That's the world's most venomous snake.
Says as potent as those found in the world's. Yeah, I think it might be one of them. Damn. One of the most venomous. So yeah, so that's what it does. It like lowers your blood pressure really quickly. And it's like a snake bite. However, there is bacteria in their bite 100%, but it's not what kills you.
It would like infect you and make you sick.
Yeah.
Venom is what kills you. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. So the incidents. Dun, dun, dun. In 2007, oh yeah, let me see, am I going backward? No, I'm okay. I'm starting in 2007 and going up by like different years of like different stories. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in 2007, a dragon killed an 8-year-old boy on Komodo Island, marking the first fatal attack on a human in 33 years. So this was like kind of recent.
Yeah.
The attack took place, they, you know, they deal with them all the time. They know like to watch their back, but so anyway, the attack took place in the dry season. So rangers speculate that the Komodo dragon may have been particularly hungry given that the watering holes and the prey that gather there had dried up. Mm-hmm. Really quick, the guides and the people that live there make these man-made water holes. And like in the rainy season, they collect a lot of water, but like they do that because then the prey comes to like drink out of the water and you have a bigger chance of seeing a Komodo dragon. Cause they warned us, they were like, you may not see one.
Mm.
Like you're, and we did like this, like walk, like it was like, I want to say it was like a 3-mile walk or 2-mile. I can't remember. But we basically leave the beach and go into the woods and you're in this little path surrounded by brush. So you're constantly like, oh my God, like,
that's, I hope it's so stressful.
It was like really weird. I was like, and then I was like looking in the trees to see if someone like one was going to jump on me. And then I was like looking in the bushes to make sure like nobody was running out or like the Komodo dragon wasn't going to run out. yeah. So interesting. Okay.
Wait, hold on a second. What?
Yeah. I'm glad that you interrupted the podcast to ask if they mowed the lawn. That's good.
Thank you.
Mom. Oh, boy. So yeah, so the watering holes had dried up. There were like no, there was like not a lot of prey around. So the dragon, they think, was really hungry when it like killed the 8-year-old boy. Mm. The dragon lunged when the boy went behind a bush to use the bathroom. Mr. Safina, who is a local guide that works at Komodo National Park, recalls the boy's friends who have been playing together near their village, rushed to their parents for help, like after the boy was like attacked. The boy's uncle ended up coming up and ran at the dragon and threw rocks at the dragon until it released his nephew. But the boy ended up dying from massive bleeding from his torso. And the guide recalls the boy being bitten in half.
Oh my God. So it didn't even need to like get him with the venom. The dragon was just going to eat him like right there.
Yeah. Cause he must've been starving.
Oh my God.
And if he bit him in half, then what's the point in waiting? You know what I mean?
And he didn't need to, there was no chase.
There was no chase. Yeah. It probably happened so fast. Poor little guy. The lizard ran away, but the park wardens launched an island-wide hunt for the man-eating lizard, though whether or not these efforts produced results remain unclear. So they're like, you don't really know what happens over there. It's kind of like interesting. Like, sorry, just a side tidbit, like to go there, the guides basically run the show and they live there. They get paid to do it by like tourists. And that's like, that's their way of life. But the guides could basically like change the price at any day and be like, no, I need like a million IDR today. Mm-hmm. And they did that. They did that with our boat. It was like, we almost like didn't go to the island because some people in the boat like didn't have enough money and there was no ATM and they only take cash. And they basically, the guide like raised the prices and people were like, I don't have enough. And I was like, well, why didn't you take out extra? But anyway, that's besides the point.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just kind of a wild west over there. So
it's yeah, it's just not as regulated.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the guide, Addie, our guide on our ship, like he like knew a guy and like got us in. So I was like, yes. So it was awesome. Okay. Shipwreck story. Sorry if I have like a little cough. Also, I had my nephew's like death cold and still recovering from it.
You sound good. You do sound a little huskier than normal.
Mm. Yeah, that kid like gets me so sick every time. Okay. So this is about a shipwreck story. In 2008, a group of scuba divers found themselves swept by the current from their boat by the island of the Flores region. They spent 10 hours spinning in the tide, and around midnight, they finally washed up on the beach of what seemed like a deserted island. They ended up about 25 miles away from where they originally were scuba diving. It turns out that they ended up on Rinca Island, where about 1,300 dragons live. And that's one of the islands we went to. That sounds kind of ridiculous that they ended up 25 miles away, but the currents out there are insane. Like some of them were scary.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, God. Okay. The attacks began almost immediately, and a relentless lizard repeatedly came at a Swedish woman, and she kept smacking it with her diving weight belt. It chewed at the belt while other divers threw rocks at its head, and she said it just kept staring at her bare feet, even though she was like pounding it with rocks. It was just stalking the Swedish woman, like out of all the people. This went on for 2 days and two nights, and the divers fought with the dragons in the tropical heat for that long.
I mean,
there were other dragons that were like coming up.
Yeah, they must, you know, they must have started like surrounding them.
Oh, yeah. They also survived off of eating shellfish that they scraped from the rocks and ate raw. Finally, an Indonesian rescue crew spotted the divers' orange emergency floats that were spread out on the rocks. So they were taken to the hospital where they rehydrated and then went to celebrate their survival at the town's paradise bar, which is so fun.
That's what I would have done.
That's what I would have done, too. I would have been like, I need a drink after that one.
I would have gotten the most drunk ever.
Yeah.
You're surviving that.
I can't imagine like being on the beach fighting off these things.
Fighting off fucking dragons.
Ugh, that's so hard.
And scraping like barnacle shrimp. That's what you're eating.
Oh, yeah.
Mussels, mollusks, I don't know, clams.
Yeah. No, all of that, I'm sure. Okay. In 2009, 31-year-old Mohammed Anwar set out to gather some sugar apples from an orchard on Komodo Island. He was up in the tree and missed a step and fell. Two Komodo dragons were waiting below and sprang on Mohammed immediately. His neighbors heard the noise and ran to his rescue minutes later. But by the time they arrived, Anwar had already suffered fatal injuries and was bleeding from bites to his hand, his hands, body, leg, and neck. Anwar died shortly after the attack in the clinic of Flores Island. So there is a clinic on Flores, but Flores, I think, is like further away from like the other islands we were at. I have to look it up again. It's been a minute since I looked it up, but I don't think it's like very close. There are other accounts, however, from CNN stating that Anwar was a fisherman, was actually trespassing on the island and was in an area forbidden for people to enter because of the Komodo dragons. This account also reports that Anwar bled to death on the way to the hospital and was declared dead on arrival. So they're not like quite sure how he died, but or like if he was trespassing, but that's kind of like the word.
Wow.
Yeah.
Too bad. But like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't go to
like
restricted
places.
Areas.
I know. Exactly. In 2009, Maine, M-A-E-N. Anyway, I think that's it. Maine, another local guide, headed to the state office on Rinca Island. Like all the other buildings on Rinca Island, Maine's units sat on stilts, and hungry dragons would often gather below to wait for the occasional like food scrap. So they were kind of like always down there under the house. On this morning, however, Maine sensed that he was not alone. He had just settled in his desk and he looked down, and at his sandal, there was a Komodo dragon like staring at him, like as he sat. What had happened is one of the cleaning crew had left the office door open the night before, and the dragon like came inside and was like looking for food. Sucks. So yeah, that sucks. Maine attempted to slowly withdraw his legs away from the dragon, but he moved too quickly, which made the motion sensitive dragon lunge. It bit his leg and clenched its jaw shut. Maine kicked at the dragon's neck and then grabbed its jaws with its hands and wrenched its mouth open, which ended up slicing his arm. Maine was screaming for help, but most of the other rangers were in the cafeteria and could not hear him. And then someone did end up hearing him and came to like investigate. And Maine in an interview said that he shouted and he came to help me, but he didn't like to come up because the dragon was still moving around. So he was probably like, okay, I don't want to mess with this. The guy trying to help. Then he saw the blood on the floor and he got everyone from the kitchen. All the people started running there, but the other dragon started coming as well because they started smelling the blood. So they were like, it's a feast.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So basically they smelled the blood. They could, and also remember they could smell blood and stuff from like 6 miles away.
Yeah.
So like a crowd of Komodo dragons ensued.
Ugh, gross.
Some rangers fended off some of the dragons and a couple others darted into Maine's office to help their colleague fight free. They ended up grabbing him and carrying through the pack of dragons waiting outside. They managed to carry him to the island dock where he was rushed to the Flores clinic. The injuries, and they were on Komodo Island. So they had to like take a boat to like the hospital. That's like a long way to go. Yeah, the injuries were too much for the small medical center at Flores. However, Maine wound up being flown to Bali for a 6-hour emergency treatment and 55 stitches. So, like, if you do get bit in this situation, like, you have to fly. And, like...
Yeah, you have to get...
And you don't have much time, because you just got, like, bitten by venom.
Venom inside you,
It's scary.
But so that's why I would think that there would be venom, anti-venom like available at these little places.
Oh, I doubt it.
I mean, that's like, so stupid. How stupid is that, though? I don't understand that.
But they're so poor. I don't think they have access.
Is anti-venom expensive?
I'm sure. I don't know.
Anti-venom.
Yeah. How much is anti-venom cost? 40,000 to 70,000 for an initial dose.
The charge per vial
is 11,000.
11 to 14.
But however, I wonder, like, how much a vial, like, do you only need a drop of it?
Yeah, it's that patients rarely, if ever, pay the full amount.
Huh.
I would just think that it would be more standard to have this on hand when you live among, like, venomous creatures. Like, there's nothing venomous around here.
Yeah, so I don't have any. The cobra, too.
Yeah, like... Because it isn't anti-venom, it covers every type of venom. It's not specific.
I don't know. We need to look that up, too. It took the guy 6 months to recover, but he did survive. Maine went back to work, although he only stays indoors now and he does not deal directly with the animals. Maine said in an interview, the dragon, I can't remember which one. He's still alive, but I think now he's bigger. If he had had a bigger neck, then I wouldn't have been able to hold it open. So I think it was like kind of a smaller one compared to the other ones that they have. Wow. So he was really lucky. Okay, this is interesting. And I remember that you took a liking to this story as well. It's the incident that happened at the zoo. So more than 50 zoos around the world keep the animals as attractions. So that's kind of the number of where you can find them. In 2001, Phil Bronstein, an investigative journalist formerly married to actress Sharon Stone, suffered an encounter. It's so amazing.
So crazy.
Suffered an encounter with a Komodo dragon at the Los Angeles Zoo. So her husband at the time. Stone had arranged a private visit to this zoo's dragon pen as a present for her husband, who had always wanted to see a Komodo dragon up close. Sharon Stone described the incident and says, Bronstein went into the dragon's cage with the zookeeper. The lizard began licking at Bronstein's white shoes, and the keeper thought the shoes must have reminded the dragon of white rat meals that he's used to.
Mm.
And he can't, you know, the dragons can't see very well. So Bronstein removed his shoes and socks to avoid tempting the lizard, which the zookeeper had asked him to do. Then as he moved into a better position to take a photo with the animal, it lunged. Sharon Stone quotes, so there was this hideous moment where the three of us, it's such a break in reality. It's so inconceivable that it's happening. But there's the moment of stillness where you just stare in disbelief. Then Phil screamed and we heard this crunching sound. Bronstein manages to pin the lizard's head down with his other foot, but the animal began jerking back and forth in an attempt to maul and eat him. Children started gathering around the cage's glass while watching the whole thing.
Oh, Bronstein, damn, really?
Yeah, the children... I just think it's like really dumb.
That's nuts.
Well, I just think it's like, okay, you were married to Sharon Stone. Like, you could probably go to like a place that like these animals aren't captive. And like, I don't know. Obviously the dragon was hungry. Like, I don't think the zoo was feeding them enough. It's just weird.
They're also wild animals that are being kept in captivity, and you can't really, how do you predict what they do?
Like, you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I was definitely taking a risk. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, like, you were. Because those photos are insane, and we're going to post some of them.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. I was having the best time of my life. So I was like, whatever. If I die now, it's fine. Okay. So then Bronstein managed to wrench the dragon's jaw open and throw it from his foot, then dragged himself out of the cage as the lizard came out at him from behind. The top of Bronstein's foot was gone, and he was covered in scratches from the animal's lunges at his back. Bronstein survived the incident and did not press charges, though Stone complained that the zoo allegedly continued to allow close-up encounters with dangerous animals following the incident.
Mm.
So that's that.
Pretty stupid. I mean, also the idea that you would be barefoot around a Komodo dragon.
Yeah.
Instead of wearing like steel toe boots or something.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, the whole thing is bizarre. It's like, that's like his wish to go in like the cage. But I mean, I've done stupid shit too. So I get it. It's just like, well, you gotta take the risk, I guess.
Yeah. I
feel bad for those dragons though. Because like, they're not even in their environment. They're like in one place in the world. Like,
yeah,
where they exist. So it's like, it must be hard for them to be in, like, all the animals in the zoo, I always feel bad for.
I don't feel bad for all of them, but I feel bad for like the larger predators that don't get to like really hunt.
I know.
And have their natural instincts met.
Totally. Okay. So this is crazy. This is like mind-blowing to me. Mm-hmm. An elderly Swiss tourist, Baron von Redding-Burig, became one of the most famous Komodo dragon victims in 1974. So you know how I said like the first one I talked about was 33 years? Mm-hmm. Like there was attack on a, like it hadn't been 33 years. So this was in 1974 with this Swiss tourist. It was really hot and dry, it was a really hot day that day, and Baron, who was a man in his mid-60s, had to rest while on the tour and stayed behind. Like, so what I was talking about, where you walk around the woods, you were with like a lot of people and you're with your guide, and they're like, do not leave your guide, do not leave anybody behind. We had to stop several times because the kids were kind of slower or something.
Yeah.
And like, they were just like, never separate. Right. But this man back in the day, like, he was like, I'm going to stay behind. And I guess he was like, he sat down in an open area on the ridge overlooking the notorious Purring Valley and told his nature study group to walk on, and he'll go back with them when they return. Cause it's kind of like a loop. So he was like, I'll sit here, you guys do this, and then come back and get me. Mm-hmm. And then we'll walk home or to the beach or whatever. And then when they came back, he was gone. All they found was the man with his camera and, all they found was his camera and a disgorged bloody shoe. And he was like,
disgorged bloody shoe.
That's what it says.
What does that mean?
Like, it was like, had
a discarded,
disgorged. I think it means like a punctured and like it was bloody and like had holes in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thankfully, the Baron is the only tour group member to have ever become a fatal Komodo death victim. And this is the wildest story, though. So before I even knew I was going to do this topic, like, I'm staying up late with Addie, our guide. Like, Sam and I always just like stayed up and like, just talked to him just to like, I don't know. And he was so cool. And he was just like, you know, they just found, like, for the first time in like 30 years, we just found the bones of a missing person.
Whoa.
And it was a Switzerland guy. And I remembered that because I nudged my Swiss friend on the boat and I was like, oh. And then I read the story and I was like, oh my God, they just found his bones.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Damn. And that is the stories of the Komodo dragons that I have for you today.
Wow. So they just dragged him off.
Yeah. It sounds like they dragged him. Yeah. You know what I think? I think it's, if they can get a hold of a human, it's easier than like a big deer. Mm-hmm. That's like more powerful and like, or a water buffalo. Like, I think if they can get a human, it's like pretty easy to chop us in half, especially if you're a smaller like human, or, you know, we don't really have like the, you know, the strength compared to some of their prey that they're used to fighting off.
Yeah. It's like similar to a shark. When a shark attacks a human, instead of having to like chase after like a seal.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes sense. And these Komodo dragons just sound like sadistic, evil, fucking.
I wanted to like just pet it. It was like it was so cute.
No,
they were like kind of cute, but kind of weird. I'll share the videos. I just think they're so fascinating, and I could cry thinking about how amazing it was.
They are kind of cute. I was Googling images of them, and some of them, they look like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
They're kind of cute.
Some of them.
And the babies are cute.
I know.
In like a reptilian way.
Oh, but so that's the reason why till that day when he went missing. And it's because like we were all together. Like they always say never leave anybody behind. Right. And it's because of this missing guy. He was like really, was really famous back in the 70s. It was like such a like because they like never found him and they're like, well, okay. And so they'd never do and like, yeah. So it's like really cool. Yeah. Okay. Are we doing a would you rather?
Yeah, I have one.
Okay.
My favorite game. I now play this with Lola all the time.
Okay.
And
I love it too.
Whenever we get together.
We're gonna try to do a would you rather like every episode.
Yeah, I just like it. I used to drunkenly play this with like my friends and my brothers and stuff.
Oh yeah, so fun
back in the day. But then I would always change the terms after my younger brother Owen would like make a choice, and we would always get into like fights about it. Like, you can't fucking change the scenario. Okay, would you rather sleep in a coffin buried under dirt for one night, so like 10 hours.
Oh, God.
You have oxygen, so you're not going to die. Like, there's no way you're going to die, but you are going to be in, like, a dark casket under the earth.
Okay.
For just one night.
Okay.
Okay. Would you rather do that, or would you rather have to sleep outside for an entire year through every, like, season with, like, a sleeping bag and, like, a pillow?
Would you get a tent?
You can't have no tent.
Oh.
For a year.
Okay.
You could wear like warm clothes in the winter.
I don't like this.
This is a hard one, right?
I'm so claustrophobic and that's terrifying. But if I knew I was gonna get out and I knew I had oxygen, then I would do the coffin.
You definitely have oxygen and you are guaranteed that they're gonna let you out, but you can't have like a phone or anything.
Okay.
Like I would do that.
Can I take like a ton of Xanax before?
No, you can't take anything to like numb you.
I feel like you're adding to this as
well. I am. That's what I do. That's why people get mad at me with this game.
So no, I can't do any sedatives.
You can't take any kind of drugs, pills, alcohol, nothing. You can't have like a flashlight, a phone, but you're guaranteed to be, they're going to get you out of there.
Yeah, I would do it.
And they're going to pipe in oxygen. So there's no way you're going to die.
Like the sleeping outside doesn't bother me, but it's like winter and like rain, like with no tent.
And like here, there's animals.
Yeah.
I would be.
What would you do?
I don't know if I could do the casket without. Like you're in pitch dark.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
I don't think I could do that. I think I would rather be like a weird outdoor sleeper for a year.
Yeah.
I don't think I could ever get into a casket.
Like the fact that you're buried is really scary.
Yeah, you're buried.
Do I have a would you rather?
Yeah, okay. You'd probably do.
Okay. Would you rather get on a plane that was going to crash? And maybe there's a chance of survival, but probably not. Or would you rather get on the Titan submersible?
Oh my God, a plane. The Titan submersible, you're just going to die.
Oh,
but you don't realize you're going to die.
We can talk about that the next episode because we have things to say.
I would take
Vanessa and I were freaking out.
We were obsessed with it.
I could not sleep. I was counting down like hours and minutes, and we'll talk about that next episode. We're going to record tomorrow. So
yeah,
we have things to say.
We do. No, I would take my chances with the normal plane crash. I would never talk about claustrophobic. I could never do one of those deep sea. I would have a nervous breakdown.
The coffin scenario reminds me of the Titan. Like, mm-hmm. It's like you're claustrophobic. You're in the dark the whole time. Like, we have things to say.
We'll get to that tomorrow. I can't, like, I will have nightmares if I think about being trapped in like a confined space in the dark.
Yeah. I mean, living outside would be kind of cool, but like not, it would suck. Like you could freeze to death.
But like sleeping. Well, you're not going to die in either scenario. You're just going to be uncomfortable and freezing and like battling the elements. And like, it would just, I mean, it would suck to sleep outside every night for a year. That would really fucking suck.
Totally. If you guys have a good would you rather, write us at killerearthpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you've almost like died somehow, we want to hear about it. Write us in and tell us what's up.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have merch on our site, killerearthpodcast.com. Buy some. It's cool. And what else?
I don't. Yeah, we're going to record. We're going to have another episode after this one coming up. I'm not going to say what it is, but I'm really obsessed with it. And I say this a lot, but it actually is like one of my favorite episodes I've ever researched.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. Yeah. I don't know what it is. So we'll find out.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Go on with your bad selves.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone. And we really mean it. Like, write us. Like, we want, like,
We haven't gotten any like emails in a long time.
I know.
Probably because we've
been
posted.
Slacking. Yeah. Yes, we are definitely trying to get better. So write us in, do your thing, and have a great rest of your day or night or whatever you're doing.
All right.
All right. Goodbye. Bye.
Why was the peanut afraid to go on the subway?
I don't know why.
Because he got assaulted.